in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, we read this, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Notice how there's a clear distinction made between the spirit of the world and the spirit of God. You and I, as Christians, have not received the spirit of the world. There is a spirit of the world. There is an influence of Satan. There is a pulling and a control and a drawing of Satan in this world. So you need to understand that God must so work in my mind, in my heart, that He releases me from the spirit of the world and brings me into the spirit of God. We live in this. We all have this battle. Young people, this is real, and it's what you're dealing with in school. It's what you're dealing with friends. It's what adults are dealing with at work. There is a spirit of the world. There is a spirit of the Antichrist. There is a working of the enemy to enhance the world in my life and in your life. And God wants to bring us out of this spirit of the world into His eternal kingdom. Now, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 are verses that you are familiar with. Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now, I don't have to tell you that in this world, everyone pretty much believes their body is theirs. Ladies will express, when it comes to the problem of abortion, "Keep your laws off of my body." Believers are told in the Word of God that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says here that we are to present, which means we are to yield our bodies to God. We don't often think about that. Even those of us who are solid in the Lord pretty much figure, my body is my own. We don't think of God wanting our bodies, but He does. Can I explain all of this to you? No, I can't. But I can go on with verse 2 that says, "And be not conformed to this world." Young people, there again is a message to us. We are not to be conformed to this world. The word conformed here means fashioned. We are not to be fashioned into the world. The idea here is of a molding. Going back to the fact that the enemy is building a world and Christ is building a kingdom, what we're learning here is that we need to be careful that we not be placed into the mold of the world by the working of the enemy. And for all of us, even those of us who are believers, we all, to lesser or greater degree, are molded into this world. We're born into this world. We don't hardly know anything else. Spiritually, we don't grasp the significance of all of this. We're all, to lesser or greater degree, conformed, fashioned to this world. And God in His Word says we need to be careful. Don't be fashioned into this world's mold by the enemy. And yet we don't think about it too much, and it's hard not to experience that in our lives. And I'll be the first to tell you, I have as much difficulty with this as you do. The world comes at us from this place and comes at us from that place through the media, through the televisions, through the music. The world is always coming at us to squeeze us into its mold. And a guy by the name of Phillips said concerning this verse, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. And that's what the enemy is trying to do with every one of us. Squeeze us into this worldly mold. That's what happens to young people at school. That's what happens to adults where they work. We're not to allow ourselves to be molded, but we're to be transformed. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be you renewed in your mind and come out of this world. Now, if I could do all of that myself, I wouldn't need the Lord. If I could explain to you how that could take place, we would have nice little 1 point, 2 point, and 3 points of how to do it. What I must do is yield to the Lord, recognize that the enemy wants to fashion me into the mold of this world, and allow myself to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. The Bible says that I have the mind of Christ. Sometimes I have real difficulty comprehending that. But to have your mind renewed means that you have your mind made new. And one of the ways in which that takes place, kids, is by reading the Word of God. Oh, how we need to just set aside time to read the Word. The world is always coming at us. The media, the music, the stories, the programs, all the literature is coming at us. And that will never transform or renew our minds. All that'll ever do is keep squeezing us into the mold of this world. So we have to be very, very careful in all that we do that God might work in our lives. Now, we have to experience what Paul experienced. And I'll not turn there, but in Galatians 6:4, this is what Paul said. He said, I am crucified unto the world, and the world has been crucified unto me. Wow. How do you get crucified unto the Lord? Unto the world, and how do you get yourself to where the world means nothing to you? Paul says it's already taken place. This is a work of the cross. I have been crucified unto the world, and the world was crucified unto me. What Paul is saying is this, kids. I am dead to the world, and the world is dead to me. The world no longer has a hold on me. I no longer have a hold on the world. Now, as these lessons go, I want to clarify, in the Gospel of John, Christ said, we all live in the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. You have to live here. You have to function in this world. You have to go to school. You have to go to work. You have to read, you have to study. You're influenced by all these things. But I don't have to allow it to captivate my life. I, like Paul, must learn to be dead to all the worldly things that come to me. Now, in the Gospel of John 16:33, this is a verse you all know. There it said, in the world, ye have tribulation, but in me you have peace. Why are these lessons so important? When you and I are just born as babies into this world, whether we realize it or not, we have been born into a system that is controlled by the enemy. And in that worldly system, there will never be anything but trouble and tribulation. But in him, he said, there will be peace. And he said that we should overjoy, we should have joy, we should rejoice because he has overcome the world. Many of us have not overcome the world. We've been controlled by the world. We've been pulled by the world. The world has saturated our lives. We have become one with it. Is it any wonder so many people are so miserable? The Lord made it clear in one verse, in this world, you have tribulation. So we, by God's grace, need to get out of the world and into his kingdom. It's a spiritual thing. It's a work of God. And then we can enjoy his peace. Kids, remember this. As long as you and I stay within this system of the world, we're not going to have anything but tribulation and trial and trouble. And yet so many people want to stay there. And I would be the first to tell you, the world will tear you up, and it's going to take you a number of years to see what I'm expressing and get out of it. And that's the work of Christ in my life and in yours. Now, let me just show a quick few verses because, okay, doesn't the Lord love the world? The world, yes, he does. Well, let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Okay, now stay with me for a few moments because remember what we shared last week, and you have to remember this. When the Bible talks about the world, it's talking about the earth which is made, the created physical world. But when the Bible talks about the world, the Bible has another Greek word which is used to imply the inhabitants of the world. And lastly, you see, the world that we're talking about is the world system that's controlled by the enemy. So we have the created world, the earth, the universe, but then we have the inhabitants. When Christ expresses to us his love of the world, he is expressing to us his love of the inhabitants. In Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10, he was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Listen, he created the world, he created the earth, but the world, the inhabitants, the people didn't know him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He even came to his own because he loves them. In verse 29, notice what is said. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Christ is concerned about, worried about this world and the sin that's in this world. He's concerned and worried about how the enemy controls this world. And then the verse that you all know and that many could quote is found in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Not that God loved the world system that you and I are living in. God loved the inhabitants of the world and gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now look, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. We're pretty good about condemning people, but notice God didn't send his Son to condemn people. He came to give us his Son that we might be saved. That was the working of God. And I know that this is a little bit slow and a little bit long, but bear with me for just a few minutes, because there's some important truths here that you've got to get, and I got to get you to before we leave. In the 8th chapter of John, in the 8th chapter of John, verse 23, and this is Jesus speaking, and he said unto them, "Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, and I am not of this world." Notice the clear separation between being a part of this world or being a part of the world of Christ. That's very, very important. Then keeping that in mind, verse 26, "I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." Jesus Christ is giving out his message to the world, to the inhabitants, that they would hear and understand. His spiritual message of the kingdom is a message to the world. Chapter 15, verse 19, please. In chapter 15, verse 19, and this is what we're dealing with, every one of us. This is why we have the problems that we have if we've become a true believer. "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." We have been chosen to come out of the world. We were a part of the world, but no longer are we. We were chosen, we were pulled out, we were given the word of God, and young people, guess what it says? Because of it, the world hateth you. When you and I take a stand for Christ, when you and I speak up for God in this day and age, it is going to be very clear that there are going to be people that despise you. I think for us as believers, one of the reasons why we don't often stand up more than we do, we just naturally don't want to be hated. We naturally want to be loved. But when we take a stand for Christ in this old world, we're naturally hated. We're naturally despised. And as time passes, this problem is going to increase and become increasingly more intense. Now, as we close, remember Christ's prayer in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. All right? Notice his use of the word world. In verse 9, isn't this interesting? "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." Look at that. Christ said, "I don't pray for the world. I pray for those you have given me out of the world." In verse 11, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Christ is leaving this world, and and he wants the Father to keep us. And that's what the Father's doing for us right now. In verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. And then verse 14, I have given them thy word. The world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. And this is what I want to end with, kids. I want you to get this. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So here's the bottom line for all believers. We have to live in this world. We're in this world. The Lord said, you know what? I'm not even praying that you take them out. Because if God takes believers out of this world is really going to go to wrong, difficult, dangerous, and devastating places very quickly. We even see it happening anyway. But what the Lord says here, I pray that you will keep them from the evil. And that word can be used to say that while we're here, Christ is praying it'll keep us from the evil one. Now, I know it was long to take you through this, but it's important that you see this whole panoramic view of how we fit into God's world. Shall we pray? Father, the world is hard. The world is mean. It's angry. The world is full of tribulation. And one of the things you have done for us this day is to give us a place of peace, of joy, of sweetness and softness when you gave to us your Son who has pulled us out of the world and placed us into the kingdom. Please, I pray, O God, do what we're not able to do. We've seen verses that sort of indicate that we should transform ourselves and not be conformed to the world and all that. Father, I don't know how to do that. I'm as much a part of the world as anyone else here. This will have to be your work. And so we place it into your hands. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.